Good morning, everyone. Last week, last Sunday, Pastor Andy invited us on a journey to wonder, on a journey of wonder with the Magi, the men of the East, the seekers of the East, in my view. Today, we continue this journey in this season of Epiphany, reflecting on our walk with Jesus in 2024. When I first read the episode today with Philip and Nathanael in today's reading, my mind flashed back to my own calling as a follower of Jesus, or the time when I was much more aware of that following of Jesus. I wonder, can you recall your personal journey with Jesus or when it started? Or maybe you could remember the stories that you heard from the family or someone else. I think we can all consider or reconsider what it means, no matter what, what does it mean to be followers of Jesus as a community. Now, as a second generation Christian, some of you are probably more than a second generation, I found my own calling story or conversion story not very spectacular. I remember when I was 15 years old, I would go to these evangelistic meetings in my quite pietistic home church, and there would be people giving their testimonies, and usually they were very dramatic. You know, I was once a gangster involved in violence, and I met Jesus, and everything turned around. I'm a peace-loving follower of Jesus, and these are very real stories. They are not real, but when I sat there as a 15-year-old, I felt, wow, I was just a good kid, getting my exams okay. Or you hear of stories of someone who's battling with alcohol and the Spirit of God came to change their lives and he had a new turn. And those are very powerful stories. So one day my pastor asked me for the next evangelistic meeting, could you give your personal testimony? And I took a long time trying to dig every dirt in my life, every mess that I could find to show that I had a dramatic turn. But frankly, well, I don't think my life would make a very compelling movie. But does that mean that God wasn't at work? Does that mean that God is not at work with the children that were with us today? Of course, we hear the hint in Samuel's story, right? Or is there more than meets the eye? Now, in today's story, even for the adult Philip, you know, it wasn't quite dramatic too. He just, you know, Jesus came, he followed. And then the Jesus movement is expanding through Andrew, Simon, later called Peter, Philip now adding to the team. Things are moving very fast, gaining momentum, isn't it? But then here we have Nathanael, who kind of interrupts this momentum, raising a red flag, and the question, he says, is there anything good that can come out from that village just slightly up the hill, Nazareth? Is there anything great that can come out of this tiny, unimportant community of maybe about 500 residents? Or maybe Philip's presentation of Jesus' CV wasn't too good. He fumbled a little bit. You know, he went with Moses, that's good. The law, fine. Prophets, good. Jesus, son of Joseph, of Nazareth, maybe that triggered something. Maybe he should have stopped at the prophets and Moses. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, I know people have different views of it. Bible scholars might not be too excited. But he was quite humorous when he translated this part for Nathanael. So, is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? Eugene Peterson translated it this way. Nathanael's response, Nazareth? ? You must be kidding. I guess that appeared to be his reaction, you know? And there was trying to capture the mood there. And here we're only in chapter 1. And you see this mixed response already of those who respond to the calling of Jesus. Philip follows Jesus immediately. Nathanael asks questions. And later on, we witness a wide range of different reactions and responses to this Jesus, the Word became flesh, dwelling amongst us, full of grace and truth. How do people respond? You have the immediately after that in the wedding in Cana, perplexed guests. You have Mary, the mother of Jesus, who had interesting inside information. You had Nicodemus, the Pharisee, coming the night, the unidentified Samaritan woman at the well, the Samaritans, all sorts of positive responses. And throughout the Gospel of John, of course, it's not all positive, we see the gradual opposition leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. And not to be forgotten, if you want to fast forward a little bit, for those of you who want to, the resurrection. And we have Thomas, who would only believe if he could see and touch the wounds of Jesus. Now, friends, these kind of reactions are still happening today, isn't it? People around the world are still responding and reacting to Christ in a variety of ways. That's not surprising because we all have these preconceived ideas or prejudgments of what Christ is about or what does the Christian faith represent. And people may struggle to find him. They may not be like Philip that was so quick. Probably they're more like Nathanael. May not be like others, Andrew or Simon Peter, more like Thomas or anyone that we could read in the Gospel of John. Why? Well, it could be because of cultural and historic backgrounds that need to be considered. And let's face it, if you look at the world today, it's not very helpful, isn't it? It's such a mess. And we think about the future, everything seems to be uncertain. And especially when there's so many conflicts and wars that are even supported by people who would speak in the name of religion. I mean, I don't have to mention the countries. And each situation, we're bombarded by the news every day. And some of these people voice and they claim, whether religious or secular, let's not blame it all on the religious folk, even the irreligious, they will claim, no, we are standing for some values, improving the world and our way of life. These people are using the name of the Lord in vain, some would say, instrumentalizing religion for their political purposes. So as people of faith who are following Christ, or those of us who are seeking after him, I guess we question these movements, these dynamics, those whom we sense there's something dishonest, deceptive, or they seem to be wearing disguises that on the outside. They may be like sheep, but actually they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Many of us present here have worked in or are working in religious organizations or other settings that want to counter this kind of portrayal of faith, religious and political nature, hurting our world, and not only hurting our world, but hurting what authentic faith really means, especially hurting what seeking the common good really means for all. And I have to confess, the battle to counter these narratives is difficult, it's indeed uphill. Because the onslaught and the weight of these so-called powerful forces in the world, when we are faced with them, we may appear small, powerless, not significant, unspectacular, very much like the one whom whom Nathanael questioned, can anything good come out from Nazareth? Can anything good come out from the church? From people of faith? Do we have the capacity as we respond to the call of Jesus to be followers of Christ in 2024? Do we have the capacity to do good, to speak out, or to work behind the scenes to make things better? Could the Jesus movement of today be faithful to the calling of Jesus on us here now? And the start of the year, in this season of Epiphany, we have been invited to wonder, But today we are also invited to reset, to reconsider our own calling again. Can it be refreshed and have a fresh look at it? So Jesus here, of course, is calling a range of people from all walks of life, you and me, to counter this darkness out there. He's the light of the world. And we have been lighting many candles the last couple of weeks. It's a good reminder. I love it all the time. Lighting these candles, that we are these candles alongside him. It's like that old song, it only takes a spark, right? And here he sparks the first candle and we continue on. And John, I found that earlier, saw John the Baptist. He saw it in Jesus. And he said, look, behold, the Lamb of God. John saw beyond the surface. He saw the light, so to speak. He knew he wasn't. He was a witness to the light. And Christ is the light. And he entered into the world, never detached from the earthly struggles. He truly dwelt with us. He saw, Jesus saw beyond the confusion and the chaos caused by human sinfulness, hatred, and evil. So John the Baptist saw. He invited his own followers to look. And this whole thing about seeing, looking, I mean, it's not just physical seeing, it's perceiving, isn't it? It's about encountering this Christ. And I see that image very strongly here. We have the listening part. Speak, your servant is listening. But don't forget, Eli has struggled with his seeing. And in the text earlier, we heard that the Lord revealed. It's another seeing image for us. So I'm struck with the two seeings here. How do we come and see? That's what Philip asked Nathanael to do. But also, I would like to suggest us to look at how does Jesus see us? Oh, that's interesting. Because Nathanael was seen by Jesus. And I think it's worth a pause here. How? Because this is the irony, and there's so much of irony in the Gospel of John. He's supposed to come and see, but the next part is about Jesus seeing him. I saw you, right? I saw you. And then he says, here is an Israelite in which there's no deceit. Jesus saying to Nathanael, I see your search. I saw you under the fig tree. I see that you are genuine. There's no disguise. You're not deceitful. It's interesting because later we have the image of the stairs, the image of the descending and ascending. It kind of brings you back to Jacob. But let's not get distracted too much because we know that Jacob was known as a deceiver. But now Nathanael, he's seen as somebody who is genuine and authentically seeking under the fig tree. I mean, this is not a formula of evangelism, right? Just tell everyone that they're under a fig tree and they will just accept Jesus Christ. That's not the point, you know. So the Jewish, in dialogue with the Jewish scholars, or you read some of these annotated texts, I know they're reminding us that many a times the students or the rabbis would go under the fig tree to study or relax, maybe for some of us. And today's image in our bulletin reminds us in our cultures how so much happens under the tree, where we can be authentically ourselves, genuinely seeking. So even though the red flag was raised, a question was raised, but Jesus saw beyond the surface into who Nathanael was really trying to do. Seeing beyond the surface into his heart. God sees us before we are brought to him by others. He saw us when we were still formed in our mother's womb, according to the Psalms today. He sees us as children, adults, seniors. God sees us especially when we are asking questions, when we are seeking him out. And this encounter with God sets in motion of his seeing of us that can transform us. So that's the first part, being seen in a new light. But the second seeing is, Jesus tells him, Nathanael, you will see greater things. Now you can see, you can perceive. the world. It's not you seeing the light, but allowing the light to enable you to see the world. It's a very much classic C.S. Lewis quote. It's not just the seeing the sun, but the sun allows you to see your surroundings. And you will see greater things about the Son of Man. And that really caught my attention. Because in the olden days, you would only think about, this is about Jesus, true God, systematic theologians. He's a true God and true man, right? But it's more than that. Scholars would tell us Son of Man is really what we call an eschatological image. It's about the redemption of Christ, the redemption of God for the world. It's about transforming the meaning of authority, power, and glory through the cross. The Son of Man. That Jesus' death ultimately is the picture of what the ladder, of what the angels are ascending and descending, Jesus as the ladder or the steps is all about. He's more than a rabbi. He's more than just the King of Israel. He's more than just the Son of God. He's the Son of Man who will go to the cross, where for the Gospel of John, it is a coronation, where he's lifted up so that all people are drawn unto him. The Son of Man. Jesus comes to us, not ejecting us out of the world, but connecting God to the world. Christ, the ladder, the steps, the link. And he appears before us later on the cross, revealing himself, his grace and truth fully. All of this packed in this episode. I realize that I'm a typical Asian preaching beyond 10 minutes now. But I need to wrap up soon. And I'll just wrap up now. I can see it. No, the German presider is looking at me. But this is the gifts that we have. Huh? So please allow me my 3 minutes to wrap up. And I'll wrap up with the image of light and darkness, because when I look back at 2023 during the LWF assembly in Krakow, one of my most memorable moments was a very awkward little fumbling moment of the first men's pre-assembly participants giving their presentation. It was the first time. And they were giving their presentation about what they did for the men's pre-assembly. Now, there were questions about, can anything good come out from a men's pre-assembly? Because, you know, are they going to be talking about toxic masculinities, patriarchy, and everything wrong about how power it is? But thankfully, the statement was not about demands, but it's about aligning ourselves to Christ. So that's a good thing. So they all decided, this 60 of a men, to use their phones to have a light at the end, so that when the whole statement was finished, everything would go dark, and then we will go down, just imagine, to the stage to form the word one, right? One, with their phone lights. Simple? We can't use candles because of, you know, fire regulations. And the funny thing was that when the lights were turned off, some of these bishops, leaders, and all, they were kind of like not too sure how to get down the stairs. It was a bit dark. And then they were not supposed to turn on their light so soon, but they had to turn on their light to see where they were going. And people were wondering what was going on. And here they were trying to form the O, which was quite good. The E kind of worked, but the N was a little bit challenging. And some said even vulnerable. And that was quite powerful for me when I saw them. And I was encouraged. Because that's kind of like a picture of us responding to God's calling to shine our light in the darkness. And it's great that these men had to show some vulnerability. It's not this bishop coming up and giving a perfect speech or a leader, but there we also learned how to just bring ourselves just as we are, with our little lights, trying to form this oneness, one body, one spirit, one hope, to show what it means to be a Christ follower in our time today. And I think that's a great picture to encourage us, that Christ is saying to us, come and see, because I'm here to reframe your life, to reframe your next step and direction. I saw your past, I see your present, I see wherever you are, I see your flaws, I see your fumblings, whether you can do the end properly, I guess your O's and E's are fine. I see it all, and I'm connecting you to heaven and earth together, deeper within and further beyond. Because seeing beyond the surface is not only seeing deeper, but it's also seeing into the future so that you can see what I can do in you and through you. Amen.